Okay, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of January 26, 2012. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, we are all here. Could you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for that background. Okay, next up is the adoption of the agenda. There is an addendum on your back page. Item 23. There are no other changes. Okay, if not, I need a motion to adopt the agenda and the addenda, please.
Make that motion. Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, employee of the month. That'd be embarrassing.
Jennifer, you want to walk up and that's not embarrassing. This is Jennifer Lewis, and she helps do payroll, so she's a pretty popular person. One or two of the most popular people in the district. But every month, there's a person that's nominated through their peers. And as I've said many, many times, there's probably not a better recognition to have than to be celebrated by the peers and the people who bring your name forward and appreciate the work that you do, and that's what they've done for you. And we certainly do appreciate all of your work, not only for the payroll side, but all the stuff that falls out of that payroll side, including the check that comes occasionally. But we do appreciate that also. So you've done a nice job. You're a great worker, a great person, and I appreciate working right across the hall from all those years. You want to say anything?
I just appreciate everything Jen does. I appreciate her job. Hard worker.
Thank you.
Okay, then I move that we accept Jennifer Lewis as the December 2011 Employee of the Month.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is...
I'll turn it over to Mrs. Ball.
Thank you. When we were trying to decide what we would like to share from Raymond, we decided, the boys and girls decided that it was a perfect time to honor our leader. Raymond is a school that, a leadership school. We've been working with the leader in me from Stephen Covey for several years, and we work to find leadership roles for children, and that's our main goal this year is to identify and to promote students and allow them the opportunity to lead. And so they have prepared some things to honor our leader, Mr. Zimmerman, who has been so, so positive and so supportive of what we do at Raymond. So this is for you.
Well, you need to understand that I grew up in Christiansburg, Ohio. And those of you who know where Christiansburg, Ohio is, it has always reminded me of Raymond, always. I grew up on a farm right alongside of Christiansburg, went to a school much like Raymond Elementary, to be very honest. So it's always been that love of that community sense that you just have when you walk into that building and you're in that Raymond community that I've always admired. So.
That was the lady with the camera, right?
This year at Raymond, we have 12 leadership teams. We're all able to choose a group based on our own leadership skills. I'm on the public speaking team. Some of our other teams are choir and dance, memories, advertising, writing, safety patrol, natural environment, custodian crew, technology, readers, and recyclers. You will now hear from some members of the choir and dance team. They are working on a song called I've Got the Leader in Me. This song is for our leadership day in May.
To let you know how much we appreciate all you did for our schools. Dear Mr. Zimmerman, Mrs. Andrews' second grade class at Raymond Elementary would like to start by thanking you for making the schools in Marysville a good place to go and learn. We appreciate all the hard work you have done over the past 40 years. Some of the things we would like about Marysville Schools and Raymond are that we are excellent with distinction. We are leaders in using the seven habits, that there are good teachers, we have a safe building to go to, and a good principal. We also like cheering on the Monarchs in sports, choir, drama, band, and all the other programs we have. Someday we hope to be a part of those programs. We hope that after you retire, you will be able to sharpen the saw by relaxing, enjoying a hobby, and spending more time with your family. We will miss you and wish you all the best. Sincerely, Mrs. Andrews, second grade class.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman, for being a great example of a leader.
We will miss you, Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have some other things that you can take with you.
I will sharpen the saw. That's a good good idea for everybody.
Absolutely.
Take some time. And 40 years is a long time. You have to step back. I've done a lot of reflecting. But one thing we probably don't ever do enough is step back, reflect, take some time. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you,
you guys are very important. You're the reason why I got into this crazy old business a long time ago. Well worth it. It was worth it then. It's worth it even more now. So appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, kids.
Thank you.
Thanks, parents.
Well, I got to be honest, I'm not sure we're going to top that. So.
I'm glad you could. I am sure we are not.
Yeah, no, no. So, all right, next up is the High Point report.
I guess I get to speak next. Well, there wasn't much to report on. I'll go back to the All Boards Banquet. We had that this
week. Yeah, how was that?
It was really cool. It was the first time I've been there. We had 14 different member districts there. They brought board members from each and superintendents from most. And just the students in the culinary program made the dinner, and they gave tours of the facility. It was really neat.
Very cool.
And it was neat to meet board members from other districts too. So
that would be nice.
And in that kind of a setting. So. And then the board meeting that we had yesterday was mostly executive session. So stuff that I'd like to talk about. The only other thing probably worth noting is that the student of the month there was a Marysville student. I have his name somewhere in here. Terrible remembering names. So he's Nathaniel, so I'm sure it was Nathan Hines, and he's in their diesel tech program. And what's kind of cool about that is dad, every time they give out a student of the month, they give out two of them every month. They bring their parents there, and then the parents get a chance to step up and say something. And almost always they talk about how great High Point has been for their kid. And, his dad spoke up and said, he actually graduated from High Point, I want to say it was 35 or 38 years ago.
Wow.
And he graduated out of their small engines department, and then at 18 years old got a job at Honda, and he's getting ready to retire. So it's kind of neat. That's pretty much it.
All right, cool. Now for the legislative report.
Well, I guess the biggest thing that was the anti-bullying legislation that passed that is gone to the governor now to sign. When I checked today, it has not yet been signed, and I don't know when it will be.
Did you call over and ask him?
I did not. I just checked the LSE, and it said that's where it's headed. So I don't know what one that might occur. But as far as I could tell, it wasn't passed as an emergency. So I guess once he signs it, that'll be 90 days until it goes into effect. The founding documents legislation, there were two different versions, a House version and a Senate version, and they would not concur. So that is on to conference committee. So there were a little bit of differences in each of their legislation, and the House insisted upon their amendments, and the Senate refused the House's amendments, so that's still up in the air. And also, the special education scholarship program that was part of House Bill 153, the budget bill, the rules governing that scholarship program cleared JCAR on Monday. So they have rules for that now.
Cool.
And another, Dick Ross, who is the former Reynoldsburg City School Superintendent, has been selected by Governor Kasich to succeed the outgoing director of the Office of 21st Century Education.
Dr. Summers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's leaving next week.
Started his own consulting company.
That.
that's the way to do
so
it.
Someone has been selected. And something else I thought was kind of interesting that happened on January 9th. The Department of Education has defined classroom versus non-classroom expenses. It's quite a lengthy article
really?
About that. Yes.
Hmm. curious to see.
They'll let you know in a couple of years.
Well, they're still defining it. They're still working on it.
You have to break it out into code yet, though.
Yeah, it was. I am sure what they had in Gong Wars was just a small blurb, and it was a full page.
Is there anything out there? Because I think last night they mentioned something about them wanting to adjust the calendar, the school year calendar or something.
Oh, yeah, that legislation actually, it was scheduled for a committee hearing, and then it got canceled.
The calendar as it's being proposed is that if you start before Labor Day, you have to petition the Department of Education or the governor's office. I'm not sure exactly where it is. Football fall seasons don't adjust. You're still going to start playing football the third week of August. Your athletic seasons are going to start in August. But primarily it's coming out of the entertainment.
Cedar Point the amusement, folks.
Amusement park folks. They don't want you to start school until after Labor Day, and if you do, you have to jump hoops. It doesn't make any difference how long you go in the summer, but you have to stay after Labor Day. I think it mostly has to do with the celebration around Buckeye Lake, to be very honest with you. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. But we'll see where that goes. I mean, to me, that's overstepping. I think your calendar is a local decision, and they need to stay away from local decisions.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because what's good for Marysville may not necessarily be good for Buckeye Lake.
Mm-hmm. Some of the concerns they brought up was just, you know, extending the summer. You know, that's not good for student achievement, because at least some of the things that it mentioned was how much gets lost during the summer, making that longer.
The other thing you have to look at, and the thing we looked at and discussed, we discussed it amongst the Alliance superintendents yesterday, the group that we belong to. But if you lose, let's say that you lose August, you lose 2 weeks. Well, they're not going to adjust when you can give your state tests. The state tests are still going to be given at the same time. You've lost basically 2 weeks getting to that. Because what if you start after Labor Day, you have to extend after Memorial Day, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, your kids are going to be at a disadvantage.
Yeah. What's the point of that last 2 weeks?
One,
well, not really. What's the point?
So that's kind of where it is. We'll see where it goes.
There's supposed to be a substitute bill, but there's a hearing on it on the 1st in the House Education Committee. So I don't know if it'll be submitted then. But the one interesting thing that is in that legislation is that the school it will be based on hours as opposed to days.
Correct. Hours instead of days. Correct. Whatever that means.
Right.
again, whether you can go down to 170 days and not run the buses as much and extend your day by 30 minutes, all those rules have to be set. Yeah.
But generally, the House Education Committee meets at 5. They have been scheduling them so that people can go after work.
Actually, I think hours are good instead of days. I think hours make an awful lot of sense. Really. We've promoted that for a long time. So it gives some flexibility. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get too crazy.
And another piece of legislation that was introduced, but it hasn't been referred to committee, was trying to get rid of February and August as special elections. And that was just introduced this week by Senator Chris Jordan.
That's just to put more pressure on the other.
But I did check on that, and they didn't send it to committee. It was just introduced.
Okay.
That's it.
Anything else? All right.
All right, I'm going to open it up for public participation. Is there anybody at this time who would like to address the board? Nope. The noes have. All right, next up is our resolution in appreciation of Mr. Zimmerman's service to the district. So if I could just take that up.
I'd be happy to.
Please. You're going to have to stand up. Remember how we were talking to Jen? A little embarrassment. You get to stand up as well. Okay, we the board would like to present you with this fine plaque in recognition of 15 years as our outstanding superintendent. the district. And we also put together a resolution that I will read for the rest of you.
You want the second grader back?
He did a fine job. I was really impressed.
Whereas Larry Zimmerman will be retiring his position of superintendent for the Marysville Exempted Village Schools effective February 3rd, 2012, after 40 years of distinguished service. And whereas Mr. Zimmerman has spent the entirety of his career working for the Marysville Schools. Whereas Mr. Zimmerman has served as the superintendent for the past 15 years, having the second longest tenure in Marysville history. Whereas Mr. Zimmerman has overseen the growth of this district from 3,600 students to over 5,400 students to date, which is a pretty big growth.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll ever be repeated.
Mr. Zimmerman has guided the district to multiple excellent ratings on the state report card to a most recent excellent with distinction rating. And whereas Mr. Zimmerman has led the Marysville district with levity and passion, always making the well-being of the students a priority. Whereas Mr. Zimmerman has guided the Marysville School District through difficult circumstances while maintaining the district's goals of managing and improving the quality and efficiency of the district's current and future operations. Whereas Mr. Zimmerman has led the district to improve the learning and achievement for all students while fostering a positive and safe school culture and environment. Now, therefore, be it resolved, we, the Board of Education of the Marysville Exempted Village School District, do hereby recognize Mr. Larry Zimmerman for his outstanding service to the students, staff, parents, and community of Marysville. Thank you for all your
incredible work. It's definitely been something that's been fun at times, frustrating at times, damn frustrating, and a lot of fun. But it's, as I've told folks, as I drive down 33, I still have that image when I first came into Marysville. You saw the courthouse and the green elevator, and at one time you saw the smokestack of Nestle. I came here for a job and basically became something more than that. So it's been a good run. Lots has changed. You know, there was no special education in 1972 when I came here. 38 kids in the classroom. I had 180 kids my first year as a middle school teacher. And I have 37 of the same book. I had 5 different books. I have 37 of the same one, teaching basically the same classes. Even as superintendent, you think about, in 1997 doesn't seem that long ago, but there was no internet, no cell phones. It was before the Columbine shooting, which changed life dramatically in the school business. Whether you see that or not, you just look at all of our entrances into schools today. All of them in Marysville, people come here and look at what we've done to change the entrances and the safety of kids, all on purpose. You know, it was all by design. So lots has changed. People ask me what's changed the most, and I will... a lot of rigor. There's a lot more educational rigor. You know, when I first came here to graduate from high school, you could graduate with one math credit, and that could be general math. Wow. Half of the science credit, 17 total credits is all you needed to graduate from high school. That's it. Those were the good old days. If you think about it. Now it's Algebra 3 equivalent, or Algebra 2 equivalent, to get out, 21 credits. A lot, everything basically, when I look at things, kids are learning things about 2 years ahead of where we did. So when people say education has improved, the rigor has improved. The other thing that it's changed a lot are the family structures. The families that we deal with, the things, the baggage that kids bring to school.
social issues they have. This thing has changed the life more in the school business than you even want to give it credit for, because of the cyberbullying and the Facebooks and all the kinds of stuff that life never changes. You know, used to be if you wanted to get away from a bully, you just got away. Now you can't. You're kind of captured.
Tethered.
Yeah, you're just right there. So, and the verbal diarrhea, as what I will call verbal diarrhea, is that's really changed. The things that fall out of kids' heads and adults' heads today, if I'd have said that to my dad, I would have been in the next county. And that's changed quite a bit in my career.
Sure.
So I appreciate, I love Marysville. I love this place a lot, and it's going to be different.
Well, I got to tell you, I've left a few companies in my day, most of the time on good terms. But I think what's unique about yours is you've been here long enough. Every kid in school now started under your tenure. And I think you can truly walk away and see, you know, your hands and your reflection on this district. And you can tell, say this is a reflection of my work, and it's
I know
something
a lot of your parents.
Well, I know.
I know a lot of parents in school. Two graduations ago, seven straight kids, I shook their hands, had their parents in school. The eighth one had their grandmother. And she said, we were kind of a socially active family. But that's, you know, it's...
All I know...
I think Marysville appreciates that, actually. I think it's... They like a superintendent they can know.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of communities that doesn't matter, but I think it matters here.
No question. So, you know, I know if I could ever walk away from a company knowing and look back and see the reflection that you see on this district, I don't think I could be any more proud. So.
Very proud of what we've accomplished. We've set the bar pretty high.
No doubt.
Thank you.
All right. So then, I move to accept the resolution in appreciation for Mr. Zimmerman's service to the district.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassley.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, minutes. I know all of you read the minutes, and in fact there was an adjustment to the minutes.
What a memory.
I actually brought it, but is that the only
yeah,
change was the vote count, how that vote count was represented in minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll fix that. So then I move we accept the minutes adjusted with the fixes suggested from our organizational meeting.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I'm still waiting for you to say Mr. Fraker. I apologize. I'm just waiting. I got that stuck in there. It's been for so long.
Get the donations.
Yeah, exactly. All right, treasurer's report.
Couple things. Nothing major on the month end of December, and I'll took the time at Christmas to work through a few things and make adjustments for the changes in the estimated revenue and annual appropriations for the grants, mainly in our other grants and funds in those areas. So that's what that's for. This is the first time since I've been here for the last 2 years that we've had a purchase after the fact. They forgot to put in the purchase order for the heating fuel oil at Raymond, so since it's over the limit, I need your permission to pay that. So,
I suppose they need that, right?
Yeah.
They need that out there?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so they did do, so I need you to approve that. Then the other thing is we've talked about where we're at halfway through the year. So we've gotten halfway through the year. I gave you a budget versus actual report. I think that came out pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
So did I thought that was an outstanding report.
First first 6 months for our revenue, had we received all of our tangible personal property tax replacement like we thought we were going to get in July, the difference is less than 1% difference, 0.867%. Same way with expenditures. I mean, we are, as far as what we were expecting to spend the first 6 months, we were at 0.118% difference. You can't get a whole lot closer than that. So
right on target.
We're right on target there. Nice. So we're okay there. So then we also talked about if we have changes in the forecast. So I gave you some changes in the forecast. Remember back in November we talked about insurances. I have got to say thank you to the staff that's on that insurance committee, getting through what we did over the last few months, looking at our insurances, looking at what we can do, where we can take that, looking at policies, looking at changes in policies, whether it be health, our medical, vision, dental, we looked at them all. With that, we were able to look at a bottom line increase for this current school year of $330,000. For next year, it'll be about another $900,000, so we're going to be about $1.2 million more as a bottom line next year. It still has the $900,000 coming out for the staff, so we still need to work on that. But at least we're in a better place than what we were. The other area is that our valuations did go up for this tax year, so that's a good thing. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. So every little bit.
We can get.
Yes. So if we have any more big changes, I'll bring those to you before the May 30th. We have to approve it again by May 30th, so May we'll bring it back. But if any big changes, we'll bring those through. And as we get through with what we're going to do and as far as cuts and all, we'll look at it too in that realm. But it's good right now, better than what we had. But it's due to the staff, and thank you to them. And thank you to the people that are on that committee. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference for the district with an insurance committee like that that's very active and understands the insurance policies.
So
that's my report.
So they, in essence, paying more for their insurance?
They are the way they did it was we did a few things with A. They are no longer getting the HRA that we paid, so they are paying
that's
that.
That's $500.
Yeah, and then that, and because of a few different changes within the policy, we were able to bring the premiums down. We have an 8% cap. Everything over that, the staff pays. It was less than 8%. It was about 7%.
That's just amazing.
Industry, we heard 13%. 13%.
So that was based on usage, though, right? From last year. So then that's what keeps that.
Yes.
And then some other adjustments.
Some court changes. Our vision and dental, they changed those a little bit, so those rates went down instead of having that 8% increase that we've got in there. So that makes a difference.
Very cool.
Who's on that committee?
Oh, there's probably 15 people, different members from each building. There's somebody representing each building.
That committee we started about 20 years ago. I've sat on it the entire time. Jerry Klett, Ed Starling, Tom Romine, group of us, old guys back then. I've been on it consistently throughout. But the capacity of understanding is just amazing. And the capacity not only to understand but to explain. And it's one thing to understand it, it's another to explain it. And this group gets it because, again, we have three different distinct policies. One is what I would call more traditional policy. One is a high deductible and one is a very high deductible plan. And then depending on where you are as a user of those particular insurances is where you kind of buy into. Our staff has done an excellent job of kind of sorting out and knowing what they're going to have to do to shop to get to this level, and are they a Plan C type user? Are they a Plan B type user? They have to pay a little more premium for Plan B, but they also have deductible Plan C, I think, is what, $5,000 deductible? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first $5,000 is yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you also do stuff with health assessment and stuff like that to keep those rates down. Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that has to help.
It does. Well, and we've got that group. We combined the wellness group and the insurance, so it's one committee now. Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. But the Greg Roars is the...
Yeah, Greg Roars heads it up.
Heads it up.
One of our staff members appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Does a great job.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on Treasurer's report? Okay, then I need a motion to accept the items A through C as submitted by the Treasurer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the card.
Item 9 is a request for a resolution for Marysville Schools to join and participate in a regional council of government, or COG, with the city and also Union County. This isn't where we started. Let me give you a little bit of history. About 4 years ago, we started started over a cup of coffee and at Bob Evans with four other superintendents in the county as we were talking about how in the world can we share stuff. And out of that fell the cooperative thing that we did with Fairbanks a couple years ago where we, you know, help them with their food service, and then we'd buy paper and for the other districts, and we'd buy computers and then bring them into our warehouse, and then they chip them out just for cost savings stuff. But part of that original stuff was also a meeting with the county and townships and so on, and we just basically threw stuff against the wall and said, how can we start cooperating and kind of save some dollars? So that's the history. But as the city got into construction, especially, you know, our IT became more of an issue. And the county also, knowing that they're going to have to kind of reinvent their servers and IT room, the IT guys started talking about, and it was kind of an outgrowth out of that how can we best share? And out of that group, we developed a larger group, kind of the IT folks, but also the managers, so to speak, me and the mayor and Steve Stolte, Andrea, sit on that group. And we were going to form an agreement, basically, between all three entities and move forward with IT. And then we got the county prosecutor involved. Dave thought that was a pretty good idea, that we'd just form an agreement between us all. And then over Christmas break, Dave started writing that agreement and came back and said, you know, you guys once started talking about a COG. I really think it's going to be easier and it's going to make a lot more sense because you're all governed by a different set of rules. You all have different revised code sections. The city is a home rule type city. County has multiple entities in it, what I will call silos, basically, of leadership, because they have so many elected officials, and including the county commissioners. You have a data board, which I never even knew you had a data board, but you have a data board that has some power in all this. And in order to really consolidate that all up and do what you need to do, you need some form of oversight government that kind of is going to oversee it. So in joining the COG, basically what we're doing is that we're agreeing to yearly have a budget that you would approve, and then that budget would line item would be funnel up to the COG. And over time, I mean, this district in the next 5 years, we believe you're going to save around $500,000. That's in true savings. We are generating a list because we met with a development, or Department of Development this week, because they're giving out grants and also loans right now, which we're very interested in. And for them, we have to develop a list of not only savings, but cost avoidances. And I will be very honest with you, your cost avoidances will be higher than your savings. So, in essence, your true savings will be higher. Because I think, in the end, we're gonna not buy as many servers as what we need. We're gonna have, you know, one data center. We're gonna share personnel. You're gonna share expertise within that personnel group. It's gonna be housed out of the middle school, the old middle school, where our kind of the center of the universe is for the district. The county and the city will run over our fiber. They will buy into our fiber. They'll pay us back for some of that infrastructure as part of the agreement and so on. But what you're approving tonight is really the approval to join that COG. Out of that COG, we still need to write the bylaws. The bylaws will govern the group. There will be an oversight group named in that set of bylaws, and we're not there yet. We've talked about it, but we're not there yet. But we need to get this started before we can ever begin to get into that level. And I'm going to be very honest, and as we talked about the other day in the meeting, we thought about going here early in this group and then backed off. We just didn't really think a COG was necessary. We thought it was maybe another layer of government that we didn't need. But in writing this, Dave says it's going to be easier, simpler, whatever, just because in order to bid things, in order to, you know, to go, if you just have agreements, you're going to have to come back to each board each time you want to do something. And now you're going to have kind of a three-year plan laid out for you, mm-hmm. and here's the timeline, here's how you're going to budget for it, and so on, and the oversight will be here with feedback coming back down to here. This group will have a seat at the board, maybe multiple seats, actually. It depends on the how the bylaws are written.
I'd like to see multiple seats. I'd like to see the treasurer sit on that board.
Again, that's, you know, we'll see how that works, but that's how it's kind of designed right now. So, and Cindy's sitting in on that group right now. I think it makes an awful lot of sense. I think there's a cost savings right now to the three entities. I think it's $1.3 million or $1.4 million of just pure savings that we're anticipating, just because we can combine cost. That is, and when you take a look at somebody who lives in the city of Marysville, who is a county resident, is a Marysville resident, and is a taxpayer to the school district, that's their true savings. So that's how we've entered into the conversation, trying to figure out how we can do this. I mean, we're ahead of the game. I mean, if people are coming to us to take a look at this. Actually, we're going someplace next week to speak to a group about kind of where we are and how we got there and how we solved some of the turf wars, and so on. So that's kind of the background. I think it's a true spirit of cooperation. We all have needs. We met this morning. Dave Wells, who's our IT person, in the city, Scott Brock from the city, met and looked at where our fiber runs are, what the city needs are, what the county needs are, and really kind of looked at future, you know, what this pipe ought to look like, what it looks like now, but maybe what it ought to look like, because as we met with the Department of Development the other day, I mean, she was giddy. With excitement about kind of where we are. She had met with how many? 2,000 people at that point? And we were the furthest along of all the groups. So we want to take advantage of that, to be very honest with you. So we're looking at doing some things, not only from an infrastructure standpoint, maybe be taking a look at a bigger piece of fiber throughout the community that other entities like library, hospital, Trinity, so on, can get grab a hold of and develop capacity and perhaps even broader based community can get grab it and then that takes them out into the internet over our lines.
We use that for phones too, right?
We use fiber for phones.
So would that be?
So we've cut out all the and that'll be true of the city and the county
For
911. They all have their own separate copy.
So there is enough space on that pipe for.
There is right now. Yeah, what we did today was look at really thinking out here and looking at, yeah, we have enough right now, but is there a better way to do this as the city adds down Fifth Street when they build their police station?
Right.
Would it be better for them to take a run all the way back to the middle school instead of getting into our line up around Pizza Hut someplace? Or as we go by the county offices, instead of them coming out, would it be better to maybe grab a line and take it all the way back downtown, which would open it up to the businesses downtown and so on, future.
You sell some of that bandwidth to them then?
Correct. So that's what we're looking at right now. But we have enough right now to do the three entities.
That's what I mean. I mean, currently right now, as it stands, we have plenty of room on there to do VoIP for everyone.
Correct,
and correct.
We do.
We've got multiple streams available. We've got anywhere between 24 and 12 strands running to pretty much every location with 48 running out the bundle.
Okay.
And on average, we're using 2 to 4 strands.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got the capacity to sell to them.
Right.
Now, is that figured in, Larry, in our savings, or is what they will be buying from us as far as these strands, is that income into the...
That would be income back to this district. I'm not sure it's calculated as a savings. That would be reintroduced to us as a return on our investment.
Okay.
Is that a cost avoidance, I guess?
That's probably separate and added on out here. I think that's how it's done, but I would have to look at that. But what we're looking at, and really, your routers and your servers and so on, just, you know, if you don't have to have as, if you have three entities buying all the same stuff, mm-hmm. Let's go into one location, that'd be the middle school, where it, again, it is the star of our universe, where everything runs back. Let's build that hub for county and city also and take their hubs out of the city building, out of the mm-hmm. county building, and so on, and build right there.
Now, will they also, Larry, like, okay, so we have our gentleman, okay, that runs everything in our school. Will they also have to bring in their people?
That's correct.
Okay,
they bring
so
them.
They each one of them will contribute.
They're bringing their total folks to our site.
Okay.
And they'll actually work out of their sites too, but the main hub will be us.
Okay.
Help desk, whether you're a city employee or a county employee
mm-hmm.
or a school employee, there's one help desk.
Okay.
Help desk will be out of our building. The nice part about that is each of us have a level of expertise. You have the engineer levels, you have so on. You know, a lot of times what happens at the county level is, and our level actually too, you know, we have the most expensive folks going around plugging stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that can divvy up the jobs and make sure that your most trained people are doing the jobs that require the most training.
Imagine over time you can eventually start to specialize. So
you can. And the other thing that it's going to... You're going to avoid hiring people mm-hmm. out also as each of us grow a little. You're going to still need to employ more people,
right.
But you're not going to need to employ as many.
Mm-hmm.
Because if each of you did your own little thing, then you're all going to need more people. But
So how does that work? If you need one more help desk person,
you're going to figure it out who hires that
yeah,
person,
okay.
What the needs are.
All right.
But the school, like okay, I guess what I'm saying, our students wouldn't suffer any because there would be a shortage of, like, if the computers go down for the county, their software goes on the blink or whatever, and then all of a sudden we have a problem.
If it works that way, it's going to fail.
Okay.
If it works, if the county sees a decline in service, it's going to fail.
Okay.
We have to build into this success, and that's kind of what, same way with, once you enter all that data into that pipe,
right,
you know, better move as fast as what it's moving now, or not faster. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to fail. So,
right.
You know, building the right bandwidth out of here is important for the success of this. And we feel as though combining all the people, we're going to have enough personnel to do what is necessary. And all of us have hot periods,
mm-hmm.
peak times,
right.
And we'll schedule people accordingly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We know when our peak, and we know when our down times are.
Right.
So, this is something that really came up at the last minute. It's a little, you know, there's no question, it's a tad different than things we've done before, but I think the joining together and the sharing of services calls for something a little bit different than what we've done in the past. The downside of consolidating, I will tell you, is that over a long period of time, you're going to have to really understand the market of those workers that are working side by side, because the funding of all of us are different. The funding of the county, funding of the city, funding of us. Wages, if you've got one person working here and that person's working right here and it's getting a raise, and
yeah. Quit and work for the county and come back to the same office. Well, yeah. Or however, you know, maybe the county.
We're close, but you're going to pay attention to it in the future. It's something that you're going to have to watch. But again, I think that's, you've heard me talk many, many times. I believe in the market, you know, and I think you have to pay attention to what folks are making in the marketplace and stay there. This, where they're working side by side, you pay attention to it. We're not, the COG at this point is not going to employ people.
Okay.
They may employ an architect for a bit, or a consultant for a bit, or those kinds of things, but those people aren't going to get sucked up into that COG. They could eventually, but there's enough work to be done without that occurring right away.
Is this pretty much the final thing?
No, there's a final one I have. Actually, I ran it. I'll give it to you all tonight. There are some typos in that one.
Yeah, I was just like, at 5.2 it says, said organization is organized exclusively for charitable, religious, education, or scientific purposes, including for such purposes the making of distributions to organizations that qualify as exempt organizations. I mean, is that really part of it?
Pretend to understand the legalese that they have to go into those kinds of things. Dave's been wonderful to include in that group because he gave us some guidance when Dave Phillips. And then our Carrie Cleo, our legal person, also saw it, so she's good.
Okay.
With it too.
I think it's a great idea, personally.
I think it's going to be good for the community.
So just as a question, since I know this will be a resounding success, moving forward to whatever services we want to consider sharing next, do we have to create a whole new COG again, or mm-hmm. how, or you know, if we come up and decide, you know, that we decide we want to salt everybody's sidewalks, the city, the county, because we're good at salting stuff.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It could fall. You create. That would fall out in your bylaws.
Okay, just how to
handle new.
Because we put put the scope of the project in the actual agreement, so I was curious if we would have to come up with another agreement to scope out another project. Yeah. Okay.
I would imagine you could probably amend it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was some leeway in there too for.
Well, but if we decide that we want to salt, you know, we want to do it with some other entity besides these two, they're not part of the.
There does say there does say right. They are, yeah. There's.
I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Well, I mean, we've looked at a lot of different sharing opportunities, maintenance, oversight of the building, heating plants. Salt purchasing, fuel purchasing, maintenance of vehicles. I mean, we have the maintenance garage. There are a lot of different opportunities that I think just open themselves up that, why not? Again, you have to solve some of the turf wars, but if you've got folks at the table that are willing to look at it in an open fashion, then why not? I think it's better for the community if you can do those kinds of things. So that's kind of where we are.
I mean, that really.
And Andrea's that kind of background.
This COG is pretty much just the permission to go forward. It's definitely an oversight agreement. It can be amended. The bylaws have not been written. We do know that the three main parties that are at the core of it are the city, the county, and the school, and there will be one representative from each of those bodies sitting on the board or their designee. Dave did say we currently have identified 8 projects today, 8 IT-related projects that Dave can attest to as well. Dave Phillips is the Dave I was speaking about, but Dave can attest to that as well. Immediately, that we can start working on with the one that's the hottest fire is the fiber, because the city is building and they needed to lock in where they were going to get their fiber for their fire building and their police station and all of that. But the data center is right around the corner. The help desk, oh my heavens, as Larry was talking about, with different levels of tier of IT support that the existing staff can provide to all of the users of all three government entities or tax exempt entities, I guess that's the word. And Dave Phillips did say that with each one of these projects, there would be sub agreements. This just gives us permission to marry, that we agree that we will share resources when it suits us. It doesn't say we have to share them every single time. It just says that if we want to share, this gives us legal permission by which we can share. And then each sharing opportunity that occurs, there would be a sub-agreement that would have to be agreed upon. But this does keep the three entities from having come back to this board, having them coming back to city council, and to the data board, which I'm the chair of, secretary of, sorry, so that we agree in theory that these things can go forward, and there will be a budget every year. I believe it's written in there that the county auditor is the fiscal agent for that, so that we'll keep track of whatever monies happen to go through there. We don't anticipate lots of monies because each agency will fund their own participation, typically. There may be some funds with regards to the loan or the grants that we're looking at from the state, that LGIF fund. Governor Kasich, that was in the last budget, $45 million they expect to expend, and we are right at the front of that, going to be applying for those dollars, both grant and loan monies for some of these kinds of things, as well as for the data center we'd like to construct in your building. So I think that the benefits are going to be amazing, both with regards to cost savings, as the superintendent outlined, as well as cost avoidance, and as me and my team like to talk about, is just efficiencies. Just in the fiber alone, what that's going to do for my office, for the county building, as we set for London Avenue, we are going to be working so much faster because you guys have a lot of fiber we don't have. Mm-hmm. And it will make our daily lives smoother and will free up time to do other things because everything runs off the fiber. Phones, as you alluded to, Doug, everything runs off that fiber. Mm-hmm. So we can broaden our own pipe. Just initially, that's going to be an immediate benefit just in efficiencies realized. So again, this is just the overstructure that says that you're allowed to go play in the playground, and that we're allowed to go play, and the city can go play, and then each individual project will have a little sub-agreement, but we'll have a budget and the board of directors. But this is what our prosecutors advise, and as Larry said, Carrie Coyle has approved, and the city council is hopefully approving it even as we speak.
Yeah,
so we can all begin to shake hands together.
The county commissioners were back today.
This morning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really looks like that lays the groundwork for a lot of future endeavors.
It does. And we would have been approached by several other entities about, when you get up and going, can we jump in? Can we participate?
Have we been?
Yes, we have.
Really?
Yes. So, you know, I don't know. And like he said, the lady at the Department of Development was giddy yesterday.
Yeah, she was.
Because she said, economic development? Yeah, maybe. You know, we've got some big ideas, but we have to get this permission to play, which is in essence what this card allows us to do.
What's your timeline for getting the bylaws completed?
Well, he said tomorrow, February 3rd. You know, I don't think they're going to be done quite that quickly. But, you know, once the COG is approved by all three entities, then I would hope we would have those done in the next couple of months.
Who's going to do the bylaws, Dave Phillips?
Yes, he'll probably be the primary...
one of the core team.
The developer of those. He would give us legal guidance. But, yeah, the core members will be drawing those up. And we meet weekly, every Wednesday morning. Our group needs.
Are we going to be able to see those before the COG approves them?
I don't know. I would see there being a reason why you couldn't at this point in time. But
we don't have to approve them, but it would be nice to see them before you guys vote on your final approval.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a. I don't think
we haven't even talked about specific. I mean, Dave is kind of throwing out, well, you might want to consider this or consider that.
Sure.
But until you have this approved, it was a little bit premature, so we've just kind of said, okay, once we get that approved, then we'll start talking about it.
The next big focus is really to get a grant or a loan application in by the 13th of February in front of the Department of Development. The date is March 1st. She asked for ours.
By the 15th
of February.
Right. And we can apply for grant money for every single one of these projects. We have 8 projects that we think are excited. Our IT guys are very excited about, and we can apply for a grant for each one of those. It isn't like we can get $100,000 to cover all 8. We can apply for them as we're ready for each one, and so hopefully we can minimize expenditures getting the money and more than realize then savings after we got it with each of these different projects that we're wrapping our arms around.
Okay. So. There any other questions from the board?
Yep.
All right, then. I don't see why that we can't move forward on this then. So I would move that we approve the resolution to enter into an establishment of regional council of governments.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bailey.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thanks, Andrew.
Sure. Item 10 is a discussion of an idea that we generated here in a kind of a brainstorming fit, basically, is trying to figure out some options of knowing that are there options instead of reducing staff, are there other cost-saving options we can look at? One of the things that we discussed and something I want to discuss tonight and throw out there is to essentially reopen the employee severance package that was presented last year to the folks that did not take it. Give them a short window since it's not going to change, but here it is again. You know, would you consider it? We'll do it one more time. And again, this is not something that we really planned on doing at all, because as I said in my email to all of you specifically, as we sold this last year, we said we weren't going to do it. You know, we weren't going to offer it broadly. And again, this is not a broad offer. This is basically the same people, same offer, just one more time. Will you consider it? When we gave the window last year, it was, we'd never had an offer like that and a window like that. And we had some folks wavering back and forth and decided the last minute to not. And I think they would, given a little more time and a little more reconsideration and a year of thinking about it a tad more, I'd like to float it out there. Timeline, if ideally, I'd love for you to act on this tonight, but you really need to make sure that you're okay with it. But understand in the hiring sequence and in the decision making sequence and kind of figuring out how we're going to pull the budget back somewhat. A lot of those decisions need to be made in March, April, with most of them having to be made in March, because you're going to have to make some staffing decisions in April. And if you're going to have to offer a RIF, there's some RIF language and those kinds of things that are just going to have to go into there. Working backwards, that being your end date, it would be better to have an earlier start to this, you know, and get commitments, and then that gives you a little opportunity, a little more window of opportunity to work on some, you know, some other options. The more options, you know, this was probably more successful than what we thought it was going to be a year ago. The problem with the retirement incentive is that you lose some capacity. The nice part about the retirement incentive is that you gain some new blood, and a lot of times the expense is not the same. So we're looking at trying to keep the expenses down so that possibly you don't have to eliminate positions or programs or those kinds of things. There are no other options to go at it versus that. It also would provide, as I put into that and using a very technical term, it provides me some wiggle room, and it provides everybody some wiggle room to kind of do some staff moving around. We've done that incredibly successfully the last two staff reductions we've had. We've been able to move staff around into certification areas, those kinds of things, without a RIF. Now, I say that because it's, to me, a RIF, you should stay away from it if you can, because once you start RIFing, you're going to RIF your least senior people first, and you're going to start paying unemployment, and you're going to pay. You're going to pay also in stress and nerves and anger and those kinds of things that we have really been able to avoid. We've gone at it from another way. The other angle is that we've received staff buy-in to what we've done, staff appreciation for what we've done, and it's avoided a lot of the other stress and those kinds of things. So, questions? Again, this, even a month ago, I didn't even think this was, that I would think about this. We started thinking about it over Christmas break, but I wouldn't have thought a year ago that we would be putting this back out there again, to be very honest with you.
If this offer is made, how many days do the staff have to consider before they make a final decision?
2 weeks.
I mean, that's by law,
that's
right?
Yeah,
the window would open, if we approved it in February, the window would open March the 6th, and the window would close on April the 23rd.
And the reason I'm, you know, and again, those dates are important because you're going to have to make decisions prior to that.
Right, that's why I was wondering how many days, I mean, is there a set amount of days they have to consider this from open to close?
Yes.
Why are we waiting all
that's how many days?
That's
about 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And why are we waiting to March 6th?
Yeah, I'm about to say, why are we waiting to March 6th to have to open that window? Why can't we open it on the 24th?
That's when they gave me times, so we could possibly open it up earlier.
Well, it seems to me, the only thing we'd be waiting on is board approval, so it would seem that the, is that right?
And, yeah. And I can work with EPC to get that board approval and or the window change.
I think they need time to get the stuff ready.
Ready, too.
You know, if they don't know that you're going to actually do it and approve it, they've got a little bit of time. They're not going to prepare the paper ahead of time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you turn it down.
No.
And it takes, they have paperwork that really is detailed out for each employee.
Correct. It's individual specific.
Yeah. So it takes them some time to.
And they're not going to do that ahead of time.
Right.
Hmm. I appreciated all the questions that came through the email and I thought you did a great job answering them, you know, and the fact that just explaining that this is exactly what you offered last year, that, you know, it's not the question like, so employees are going, well, are they going to offer another buyout next year? You know, some of those concerns that you worry about it becoming a precedent or something.
Absolutely.
But
And the your answer about moving, that really helped me appreciate it, because we saw what we did last summer and be able to absorb, as you said, and I can appreciate, I don't fully understand it, it's very complex, but I appreciate the fact that having more places to move people might help with that in the future, so I definitely appreciate that. You know, my only thing is I would like to see the impact and the forecast several years, not just
I would as well,
year.
As a matter of fact, I'd like to just see those numbers laid out so we can kind of...
And it just depends on how many take it. I mean, you won't know until...
Yeah, I was just thinking if we could run even a couple likely scenarios and take a look. And I don't,
yeah.
As best we can. I know, I understand we're not going to get an exact science. And
if we do 4 staff members with no replacement, it's $300,000 more for next fiscal year. But it's still, after that, paying everything out over the next 3 years, and all, you're still going to be in a deficit in 2014.
Right. I just
no matter, and it's anywhere from 700,000 to
this
6
is
million.
Not, this won't carry you forever.
It's not
no,
care,
and that,
it's
I wasn't
not
looking for that. I
all.
Just wanted to see what the net difference over those years would be as a result of this versus not doing this.
And you're thinking it as a replacement or non-replacement for those 4 people.
We did non-replacement.
Non-replacement for those 4 people.
For those 4 people.
I mean, it was interesting. That, you remember that study that they gave us last
year? Yeah.
You know, it shows what, $81,000 per, you know, on average per person that took that buyout. So, and how much do we pay for the, is it 13 a year?
It's about 13, yeah. Yeah.
13 a year. So your net savings without replacing those would be? Yeah, what is
yeah.
that? You're the accountant.
I don't do it. I have my calculator.
Like $68,000,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
okay.
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a payout of 3 years.
Okay.
We pay that.
40-some.
Yeah,
40-some savings over 3 years.
And I agree. Now if so in the converse of that, let's say that's for 4 people. How many did I say? How many did we say?
4.
4.
300,000?
300,000.
So if you had to riff in order to save that, I mean, obviously, since you're pulling from the bottom, it's going to take you
about
more people to get, you know,
yeah.
to get rid of.
Yeah.
And then, in turn, you may still lose these people in 2 years if they decide to retire.
Exactly.
So then all the time and effort you took to hire those people that you just got done laying off, now you'll have to expend those resources again to go find people to replace them.
Just trying to avoid unemployment costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's expensive. 26 weeks, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least 26.
Yeah, and
there's
you apply for a second round, and you have
mm-hmm.
to get a second.
Yeah.
It goes way beyond 26.
Okay.
Well, if I can, I would say if those people are ready to go, you know, if they're willing to go and we can save those people from being ripped, that's from where I stand, that is huge, and all the emotions that, like you said, that go with a RIF situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea, and I from the union standpoint, we were in agreement to throw it out there again after you guys approve it.
Well, you know, I think when you step back and say, you know, basically, you know, what we should be asking, you know, what's the best for our kids? You know, is the best thing for us to get rid of 4 people on a buyout, or is it best for us to RIF 7 people? And what effects, you know, does each of that
unintended
have?
Unintended consequences.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Because, you know, you can speculate, but until, you know, like a couple of the teachers that we lost, that students are still very
morning.
Sad over.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
kids who
yeah.
wanted those teachers
right.
to not around.
Yeah. Restoring that capacity is difficult. But, you have to work at that as a district.
Right.
To do.
You're always going to, there's always going to be those
yeah.
best teachers that retire.
Exactly. Exactly.
Through a buyout
just
through
gotta
normal attrition.
Going.
Okay, so if we can get some financial information then, are we okay to consider it our next board meeting? Let me just put it, well.
That's a good motion.
No, what I want to do is, I know we're tight on that date, so I would rather get a little bit more of a feel if there was something that we could have them start, if there was enough positives from the board to say, hey, you know, look, we're pretty confident that unless something jumps out that we're going to do that they would be able to start work on that, or is that not?
The study that they did last year is going to be about the same that they would give us for this year. So
yeah.
I would use the same numbers.
They don't need to do a study.
There's
just
no
the paperwork for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of where you're at. Unless something jumps out,
I can't see. I mean, I don't know if I would, but I would be okay with this. And I know you ladies don't have that. I found this today.
I know.
And I'll send you a copy. I'll send you a copy of what we did. Do you guys
have
it?
I'm sure I have
it
somewhere.
Oh, well, I'm sending it out. I'll just send
that
it the rest of it.
I mean, depending on the timing, is it something that would be worthwhile calling a special meeting for? Something, you know, like if you're doing that, you know, we always do that at home too. What's your drop dead date and work backwards from it?
I was going to say, we got enough meetings scheduled. I mean,
we don't have any between now and our next meeting. No.
We don't? I thought we had I thought we had something early February.
No.
You know what? I was just getting mixed up with that. The calendar, there were things on there that weren't meetings.
Right.
Yeah.
The other things.
Yeah, but I agree. If that's going
to
help.
Because just listening to this, if the report we're going to get is basically the same as what you got last time, and I guess from Cindy's standpoint, you know, what assumptions are you going to make from the list that's going to give you any information that you can a lot of confidence in?
The only assumption is that we're going to that we just said what if four. If four
right.
people do.
It might be one. It
yeah.
might be ten.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, I guess just listening to the timing that we're working with here and the staffing decisions, does it make sense to wait another month if we're not going to get any information that's different than what you've had in the past?
We can do a special meeting. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with
that. With all deference, I'm not okay with running a motion tonight.
Okay.
Anyways. I think everybody just needs a little bit of time to consider and just make sure your questions are asked and have, you know what I mean?
If you can gain a couple weeks, it would be huge.
Okay.
Merit meeting's when?
The 23rd.
Oh, is it 23rd?
Yeah, 23rd. Yeah. I was thinking it was the week before.
Yeah,
that
week.
We moved it. Plus, it's my anniversary that week. I'm pretty sure we're not. No, the week of that. The week before that. That's what my calendar tells me.
I'll have to deal with it.
I didn't say that on tape today. Okay, today's the 18th. I don't know.
What?
First, the second. We can probably do it. If we did it on the second, we'd certainly force Mr. Zimmerman to sit in yet another board meeting, which in and of itself may, you know.
You know what? I would do it.
There's a chance I may not be here on the second.
When's the Super Bowl?
Well, I may be heading over that way on Thursday. I'm not sure.
The second is the Thursday.
Yeah. How about that Tuesday, the 31st?
Next Tuesday.
You know, I was going to say next week is just not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, if the idea is.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking it's the 18th. I got my 18th highlight.
I mean, especially the whole idea is to give us time to look.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was a week behind on my calendar. I'm sorry. I thought that was 2 weeks. How about the 9th? That's 2 weeks from today.
February 9th?
Yes. You'll be able to show us your Super Bowl ring. And
I won't have it yet.
Does the 9th work for everyone?
Does that back it up enough? I mean, or do
that
we
gives us two more.
That
gives
them
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
So that should actually move it back to the 23rd when it would actually, you know, to open it up.
Yeah.
Everybody okay with the 9th?
Yeah,
all right, let's schedule then a special meeting on the 9th for the purposes of approving the retirement buyout.
What time,
Jeff? Let's go. 6 o'clock seems to work better for those special meetings. Is that okay with everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you please send out a note tomorrow?
I will take care of that.
So I can put a little appointment on my calendar. Otherwise,
yes,
you'll have four members here. And
hey, is that guy going to show up?
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Item 11, the 2012-13 school year calendar. Again, I pointed out this is a kind of a unique calendar because for the very first time we're going to have high school exams prior to Christmas break in this calendar. We're able to pull the school year up ahead in the Labor Day. Well, two would have to have special permits. It allows that to occur. It also allows the school year to kind of fall pretty neatly, to be very honest. And it was a work of a lot of committee members that saw unique needs, not only at the elementary, but middle school and high school, and they came together and looked at a lot of options. So I recommend that this be the 12-13 school year calendar.
Any issues? No. I need a motion to approve that then, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries.
Ms. Juliet for getting that group going. And
thanks for the color calendar, too.
Yeah.
I can't take credit for that good luck calendar. I just had the idea to get the calendar committee going. And they went with it.
I see.
That came from Raymond, I think. Came from the elementary.
That's my level right there, man. I got colors.
I had to get all that kindergarten stuff in there.
Exactly.
Item 12 is a leave of absence for Tracy House, one of our Maven Elementary folks. I recommend that be approved.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion
13,
carries.
Jeff, I'll let you deal with it.
Okay. Next up is the employment of district staff. This is, obviously, this came from me. to approve to hire Larry Zimmerman on an as-needed basis at $86 per hour, effective February 6, 2012. Obviously, as I talked to Larry, that work will be directed either through Dr. Reimer or through Cindy. Any of that work must go through those channels. So.
You think this employee has enough experience?
Nope. I don't know. We should have put a probationary period on here.
Experience or expertise.
Yeah, we do need to clarify that, right?
No, sure. Experience, yes.
So I need a motion to approve that, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is employment of district staff. And this is for a high school student in our work transition program at the high school. They would be paid as a student worker. Part of their education plan.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 15, supplemental contracts listed below are specific recommendations related to employment for certificated and non-certificated individuals for supplemental contracts on an as-needed basis. These are some of your spring employments.
I just have one question out of curiosity. Why are the ones listed here that are going to be paid by the boosters?
Well, we've always paid them, and the question was which ones are paid by the individual groups that actually reimburse the district. We just put them on there so
I
that you would know that you're paying it, but you're getting reimbursed from those groups for those individuals.
Okay.
Somebody had asked that be put on there. And
yeah.
You know.
No, I agree. I think that's nice to see.
My understanding that correctly is, we still write the check, right?
Right.
Check.
They pay
are
us.
Employed.
They have to be
employed
by the district.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I think
under contract, they have to go through
all the
list of stuff that you have to do to get coaching. And
yeah.
So they're just paid. We're reimbursed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's good then to show that.
Mm-hmm. There's no question, yeah. So, no other questions? I need a motion to approve that, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Amy.
Yes.
Yes.
Amy.
I know, yeah. That's on my part calling you first.
I was about to say, maybe I heard that wrong.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Beatty?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, district substitutes and home instructors, list below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 11-12 school year, again on an as-needed basis. Home instruction for Sue and Amy, those are if we have kids that are out of school, either handicapped or injured, we provide home instruction.
Otherwise.
For them, and these they have to be approved in order to do that.
Okay. Any motion to approve those, please?
I move to approve it.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion
so
carries.
If you ever see home instruction, that's always what that's for. It's called out differently by law. 17, student teacher internship or research volunteer, we have several there listed. And again, we call these out primarily so that they're actually working with our kids and we want them to be covered on liability insurance.
What is word box instruction?
Word box?
Yeah, she's doing her doctorate on word box instruction on the phonics awareness skills.
It's the key words, right?
If basically. It's phonics, it's probably, is that what it says?
Yeah. It's phonics.
Is it just the phonics?
Phonemic awareness skills.
It would probably be dealing with just phonological awareness, phonics. That word box to us is an Alcona box where it's just a way of word study and phonics.
Okay.
Phoneme awareness.
Just want to make sure everybody was, you know.
if you have a research volunteer like that, do we get the results of her research?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on the agreement with
I
Ohio
think we
State.
Should request it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be nice.
May I ask who she's doing?
Yeah, she's on the.
Creekview.
At Creekview?
Yeah, she's working with,
four Creekview students.
Yeah, I saw Mrs. Kesey, so I was. Sue Kesey is who it is. She's on it. All right, if there's no other questions, I move that we accept the student teacher internship research volunteers.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 18, your district volunteers. Listed below are our volunteers that we have, again, for the 11-12 school year. These are additional ones that we have. And again, we recognize our volunteers. They have to jump through hoops, but we also want them to be covered by liability since they're working with our kids.
Any motion to approve those, please?
So moved.
Second. Moving second. Roll call, please. I did. Amy did this.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr.
Lester. Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I'd put a light over there. Right? Just give me a light.
Do I need a mic?
Yeah, I pointed out to say our last name because 14 members are
Yeah. Item 20 is a student overnight. No, item 19 is a student out of state trip, and this is for the FFA members to go to Louisville to the National Farm Machinery Show.
Oh, man. That sounds like fun.
I move that we allowed to go to that.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
No. No, Mrs. Greer second today.
You guys, can you stop that?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers? Yes.
Okay, motion carries. We do need a light, I'm telling you.
Item 12 is a student overnight trip. This is for Bunsold next year or the October trip to Washington, D.C. Again, no cost for this week.
Yeah.
So moved.
Sir.
The last one when you second on that one.
Yes. Sue seconded.
Yes. Some female did.
Yeah. It used to be easy to narrow down, right?
Yeah, I could tell the men's voices. I can't tell the female voices. Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
And Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 21 is an Italy and Germany spring break trip for high school students. Over our spring break, some staff members and teachers are organizing that trip. Mm.
Sounds like a good trip.
This is the first one of its
very
kind.
Very first one.
Right? Okay. And you know the teachers? I mean, the teachers that are in charge of it are experienced with mm-hmm. overseas
one
travel.
Right.
Oh, no.
Joy Bingman.
Joy Bingman and Evan
done,
Smith.
Okay. He's done
yeah,
one
so
of them.
History, okay. Art, and Joy.
Oh, okay.
You speak Italian?
Yeah. Ciao.
Very well traveled.
Bonjour.
I've been to Milford Center.
No, the meetings have been going really well, and this was on the agenda when the tornado hit, and so apparently.
I remember that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions? I move then. So
okay.
Moved. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers. Yes. Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 22 are fundraisers. Request that the following fundraisers be approved. A through I.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call, please. A lot of jump roping going on.
It's that time.
Yeah.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes. Motion carries.
And 23, donations to the district. I recommend that the following donations be accepted.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Powers,
yeah.
Okay, motion carries. We have an addendum?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
We do.
We do. Staff resignation.
Oh, yeah.
It's on your back page.
I'm so excited I forgot. We have staff resignation, item 23. Accept the resignation of Steve Lucas, custodian.
So moved.
He's excited about it. Ending the meeting.
Yeah. It's good to clarify that.
Moved in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Sound very good, though.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we just have a couple quick items. I know Sue wanted to talk a little bit about the Finance Committee.
We'll make it pass. Doug and I. Doug, Cindy, and I have talked about the Finance Committee, and so we just made a couple of revisions. So there's.
Oh, to what you sent out?
Yes, to what we sent out. There's an extra one for Cindy, too. Yes.
Oh,
Cindy's.
I'm sorry.
Okay, and sorry, the Finance Committee got cut off on top. So we got a new printer at home, and I didn't put the paper in the right way. Really, pretty much the only thing that we changed on here was to back down a little bit on talking about performance-based pay,
mm-hmm.
mainly because we're interested in getting some input from what has been done so far. I noticed, like, something in your building report. Carly, you were talking about some of those committees and how they're starting to look at some of the evaluation. Yeah, and so we're interested. Yeah, we're kind of interested in getting some information on what's been going on that way, and you know, just so if there's anything that, I mean,
well,
if that's the direction that we're going.
City said this. The HR has been working on
yeah,
some of the
points right,
out of
right.
It,
so
about nice
you know we don't want we didn't want to approach that yet as a committee or. You know, until we kind of hear some information.
It's too bad that Juliet left because she is a member of that subcommittee. But they have been doing extensive work and investigations into not only teacher evaluation models, but as well as the tools that different districts are using. So it would be a good suggestion is to really talk with that subcommittee and see what they've been doing.
And I think more generally, it'd be nice if the board had spent a little time just kind of planning how we would, you know, it's kind of a high level, here's what we'd like to do between now and end of FY13. Not so much us doing stuff, but saying, here's what we'd like to see.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Happening, so.
Right.
I only have one. It's just me.
Okay.
The word recommendations coming out of that committee.
And you know, and I did though, and Doug and I talked about this a lot because I went to the Olentangy Local School District and looked at their finance committee.
Sure.
And And you know, they talk about share business and financial best practices from the private and public sectors and recommend operational efficiencies. And I think recommendations are just that. They're not, we can accept them or not, you know. But when you get recommendations, at least it opens up discussion.
Oh, I didn't want recommendations. I just want to make sure, you know, that we're presenting them as ideas or options.
Yes.
or
exactly.
And I think more often than not it would be options, I think.
Like the last reports that we've had from the committees, I mean, they've all been
informational.
Exactly, and they presented options, but none of them actually had, you know, we recommend that you do this, or we recommend that you do this.
But our very first committee did that. Our very first committee, before I was on the school board, when I was actually
the levy committee.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a levy. That's what I
That's not what I meant. But I meant
Well, yeah. I mean, we did talk about with the renewals coming up, you know, two this year, one next year. It'd be great to have them look at, you know, different types. You know, do you want a continuous renewal? Do you want a replacement? I mean, and I don't know all those things yet. And so it'd be neat to have a committee try and look at some of the impacts of asking for different types of levies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they might, after they do all the research, they might recommend a certain thing, and we might look at it and say, we don't agree with it, or that's a great recommendation.
Sure.
But,
and I don't think they're going to take that lightly. I don't think they're going to recommend something unless they feel strongly about it. Because I remember last time they didn't do recommendations because that was their choice.
Yeah,
they didn't want to do it.
I just want to make sure we're not, you know, we're...
Right.
But I think after going through all that work
asking for recommendations.
That's
point. We're asking for you to provide information to us, to provide reports, and if you so feel that they're, you know, if you feel strongly about something, go ahead and tell us that.
Sure.
But, yeah, we have the ultimate decision-making responsibility.
That we do.
Yes, we do.
And her and I are going to be more involved we made the conscious decision, you and I, not to be, but I think based on a lot of how things change so quickly, we decided it'll be good for Sue and I to be there just to make sure there's more, you know, harmony between what that group, and when I say harmony, I mean that they're not working on something that's
maybe we've started to go in a different
direction. Yeah, or their timeline doesn't match up with ours.
So are you going to be
we won't be voting
active members or observational members?
I would like to see us being more observational members, and you know, we would offer we'd be there.
I want to have input, you know, but not, I mean, I would say like from our board level that, you know, these are the things that we're working on now.
Okay.
I guess if I thought they were going in a direction that we really weren't interested in, I would most likely say that.
Most likely?
Yeah.
That builds confidence,
learning,
right?
So at least know to bring it back to the board
to
make sure.
No,
so
and that's fine. I'm okay with it.
We still got to figure out what level, but I think the more independent they are, the more value their opinions will be to, you know, the district and the community. So.
Okay. No, these changes are okay with me.
Okay.
And then the very last thing, I know we talked about operating protocols, you know, because the board as a group had decided that we wanted to really operate a little bit more efficiently and a little bit better, but for the sake of this particular meeting, I'm going to push that off until our next meeting. But I will suggest,
we need to send us the links of all
ones
you
have. That's it. I happen to have
2 inches of protocols.
Yeah. I mean, you do a Google search on operating protocols for school boards, you will find tons and tons of examples. I didn't really like that format once I started working with it.
I didn't either.
I would rather just list them out, you know. Yeah. That's the way I see most of them. And
they're set up more like articles.
Yeah, exactly.
One other quick thing?
Sure.
Is that... Doug and I were saying how it would be nice to have, as new board members or maybe every year or something, go and visit the school buildings.
We talked about that last time. I'm sorry.
So that we get to meet the administrators and they know who we are.
I was supposed to set that up with Larry.
We talked about spreading out more. So, you know, we're not hitting them all one day, but maybe like every 3 months.
This is just
an idea we had, just maybe quarterly or whatever.
No, you're right. I apologize. I was busy doing my
And I did actually see some other school board in Skokie, Illinois, actually has like board members assigned as liaisons to several buildings, and they have like 18 buildings in their school district. So each board member had a couple buildings that they were the liaison to, and that way they could just go, and if there's concerns, then they they can share them with the superintendent or, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's
that seems to be, I got to be honest, that seems to be a little dangerous to your chain of command. If you're the liaison and you're starting to get information that your superintendent's not getting.
Well, I mean, I would research that a little bit more, but I thought it was kind of a neat idea too, just to have that connection there.
No, we should do more visits.
Yeah.
I agree.
We should do more visits.
I'll work harder on that. We'll get something going.
May I ask permission to piggyback on that? If you go into the buildings, if you go into the buildings too, is to afford us the opportunity for you to sit in on some of the initiatives we have going. Like,
yes.
What does our reading program look like now?
That would be great.
You know, how are we getting ready for 21st century skills?
Mm-hmm.
Our race to the top work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm speaking from a K-6 perspective, and
right.
There's millions of things going on at 7, 12 as well, but I think
right.
It would really be nice for you to be out there and see what we are doing.
Right.
And I will say this, I mean, since I've been on the board, typically, you know, if I have a free morning, or, you know, which isn't very often,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'll just, you know, if I decide I want to go out to Buntsold, I'll shoot a note over
mm-hmm.
there and say, hey, I'd like to go over to Buntsold. Do you mind if I call Kathy McGinnis, ask her
right.
to just go in for a visit? He usually says yes.
Usually? You've been forbidden?
Yeah, no. No, he almost let me ride the bus on the first day of school this year, so that was a testy. But anyways,
right.
I mean, you don't have to do anything formal. Just say, hey, you know, I
yeah.
want to go visit that building and you know, make sure, you know, you call the principal.
Right.
And you know, I've been around with all of them. They'll be more than happy to show you right around.
Maybe put you to work.
Yeah. Well, they have done that, too. So, all right, was there any other business? Anybody want to address the board one last time before we go? All right. Then I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Larry.